wonderful, wonder bride.
To be free and alive, everywhere that you go, is to wear what you dare anywhere and to travel with flair. We care about the shape you're in, so does he, so does he. Wonderful, wonderful, wonder bride.
Yes, indeed. That is one that I know resonates with you, Mr. Mark Pilkington. A Wonder Bra commercial from 1969. If you would please share with our good friends in Radio Land the connection you have with Wonder Bra.
Okay, Carl. well, we talked about this last time. It was one of the most fun episodes of my life, really. I found myself in the late 1980s as marketing manager for a smallish British company which had the license for the Wonder Bra for Europe. And the Wonder Bra actually had been declining and had some problems. But it was getting in some new life, really, because a lot of the younger kids then were starting to get into it, the models and everyone. It was a change in the culture, really, at the time of the supermodels and Madonna. You know, I think it was women started to feel that they could be both powerful and sexy at the same time, and that really, the Wonder Bra kind of embodied that kind of thought. So we really worked it from a marketing point of view. It became very successful in Europe, really was hardly off the front pages in Europe for a couple of years. Then we hit a huge roadblock because the guys that own Wonder Bra, which was a Canadian company, they decided to take it back and they gave it to somebody else. So we then had to had this huge bra wars, what was called bra wars, between we launched a new product, new improved product, and they had their product, and you know it was which one's better. And it spread all around into the U.S. as well. I came to the U.S. and we'd never marketed it in the U.S. because we didn't have the rights. But once we had our own, we then marketed it heavily in the U.S. And you know, Bra Wars spread to the U.S. It was a huge hit, as you may remember, in the U.S.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
I spent a couple of years touring around the U.S. and doing shows. I was on CNN, big networks, and It was a fabulous time, incredible time, and it became the best-selling bra in the world during that period. And it was just, an experience of how public relations and the media, if you like, can create such a huge sales sensation. If you've got a good story to tell, if you've got a good product with great technology, and it hits a certain nerve with the consumer, so they're kind of interested in it and respond to it. I remember when we launched it in Saks, I mean, we just had crowds and crowds of people piling into the store, and they were going to the fitting rooms and they'd try it on and they'd come out onto the floor of the public department. And in those days, I mean, talk about the 1990s, these retailers were very conservative. And I remember the vice president marketing coming up to me saying, "You're going to get me fired because we can't have these people out on the floor wearing bras." And I was like, I just can't control them. I don't know what to do.
What were they doing? Were they wanting people to see them in their new bra, and they just wanted to give a?
Well, they were just going crazy with this thing. And And then I was walking through the streets, and I was on a show that they had at that time called The Donahue Show, which
Phil Donahue. Mm-hmm.
Any of your listeners would recall that was a big show. And
yes,
I was walking there with my little team of people across New York, and I had this big show board with all the parts of the Wonder Bra. So it was like a bra exploded into 45 different components, pinned to this board. And I was walking, and we were in the middle of the St. Patrick's Day parade, and we tried to cross, Fifth Avenue or whatever, and there were crowds and crowds of people. And, I'd been all over CNN and NBC and all the Fox and everything like that. I was walking through And they were all these there, and these cops were there, and all these people started mobbing me. They say, it's the bra guy, because they'd seen it on TV, you know. It's the bra guy. And the police were like, you know, New York's finest, were holding them back, you know. It was like Andy Warhol said, I had my 15 minutes of fame, you know, were being recognized in the street. It was extraordinary experience.
And one that, I mean, is still, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're wondering, some of you, is Wonder Bra still on the scene? The answer is yes. So,
it's
still there and marketing a number of products. So, share with us. So, share with us some of the nuts and bolts of the marketing strategy that was in play then with Wonder Bra, and if you could let that you serve as a segue into a discussion of where we are now in 2019. And as you share with us in your book, Retail Therapy, artificial intelligence moving us into the virtual world using voice activation and other strategies to help market products.
I think that the marketing model is changing just as the retail model is changing, because in the days I'm talking about, you know, we were still in that age of standardized products. So, you know, we had the Wonder Bra, and our aim was to sell it, you know, to a maximum number of people using, you know, innovative advertising campaigns and working with media and the press and doing, you know, kind of fun events which would get the attention of everybody. But it was still very much a kind of push system. I think that the way marketing's evolving now, it's evolving much more into a pull system. And the successful new brands are ones that are interacting a lot more with their consumers, particularly the online brands. They're using a lot of consumer feedback and research and getting consumers to try the product and give feedback and even to design the product. Because, of course, the thing about the internet is it's a two-way communication medium. Whereas advertising and TV advertising and stuff like we used to use was a one-way process. But the internet's two-way, so you can have your consumer get involved. And a lot of the best brands now, the consumers do most of the marketing. So, you know, they give the product out, they get a bunch of enthusiastic consumers, and the consumers wear the product, and they'll then take photographs of themselves and put it on Instagram, they'll put it on social media, and then the companies will take it and they'll put it on their websites. So a lot of the marketing itself is actually the users. It's not the brand, you know, like in the old days we used to get supermodels and stuff like that. That doesn't really work anymore because, you know, consumers want to see real diversity. They want to see the real world, if you like. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see some tricked up image that you know, we used to come up with. that's the direction has changed. It's not the push system anymore. It's much more interactive kind of system. And things like virtual reality and artificial intelligence are going to be a big part of that because, you know, they will make the online experience much closer to the real physical experience over the next few years. I mean, these days there is still a huge difference between walking into a store and being in the middle of the store with all the marketing and touching and feeling the product, maybe trying the product on, and going to a website, still fairly kind of flat screen experience. Mm-hmm. That's all going to change because when you look at how virtual reality is going, I don't know if you've ever seen the Magic Leap Whale, but the Magic Leap Whale is a bunch of kids in a gymnasium, and what they see is a huge whale jumping out of the water in the middle of this gymnasium, and it looks incredibly realistic, but it's all virtual reality. You know, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very, very compelling experience. So look it up if you haven't seen it.
I will.
Magic Leap, the whale, and your listeners might want to look it up. It's quite striking. But as that comes through, we will increasingly live in a virtual world. I mean, you know, it's still in its early stages, but, you know, they're going to be able to replicate a lot of the sensations of the physical world. Visual, oral, even touch, smell, feel. A lot of those things are going to be possible digitally.
I tell you what, and
that... blur the line between...
virtual and reality, right? I was so amazed, and when I was reading in your book, that that virtual we come like reality. I think that probably the one aspect that grabbed my attention the most was the part where you point out that we will even be able to smell what we're thinking about buying.
No, absolutely. What they've done is you know, you can digitize most things. That's the clever thing about it. And so, you know, there's a machine called the odometer, which someone's invented, that enables you, I think, to smell something like 400,000 different smells.
Oh, wow.
They've basically whittled the essentials of smell down to like 40 different elements. Depending on how you mix them, you get the different smells. A bit like color, you know, there's sort of so many primary colors, but you know, by mixing them, you can get literally millions of colors. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with smell. So by mixing these smells in different varieties, they can replicate you know, a very wide number of smells. So, you know, you could, for example, buy a perfume virtually and be able to experience it, you know, before you bought it.
They can actually send a smell through your computer.
Through your computer, yeah. I mean, it's you know, you'd have a little attachment that plugged into your computer, and you know, you'd smell it. And those kind of things, they're going to come. You know, it's going to make the virtual world a lot more compelling, which of course is going to, in turn, you know, it's going to assist the e-commerce companies more and more, because they're kind of stealing the final remaining advantages that the stores still have. You know?
Exactly, because I tell you the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the big things that I've been saying the last few years when it comes to that shopping experience is I do like being able to touch what it is that I'm thinking about buying. I want to feel it. I want to be able to put my hands on it. I want to see it up close. And with virtual reality, they're taking away a lot of that argument. Our guest, yours and mine, Mr. Mark Pilkington, and I will be right back. And I'm going to let you go to this next break with another Wonder Bra commercial.
Wonder Bra, so comfortable. Fits so well you won't even notice you're wearing it. But you will notice how beautiful it looks.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Comfort and beauty together at last.
Wonderful.